Leading up to the scripture passage this morning, there are four verses that relate a bit to what I want to talk about, and I just want to read those quickly. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial." The words of the Lord's Prayer do have various wordings, that's for sure. Sometimes it's trespasses, sometimes it's debts, and we use the word for sins, which does appear in our hymn book. As we read from the scriptures just recently this morning, there's a reference to the Lord's Prayer. Within the Lord's Prayer, we have forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our debts, or forgive us our sins. And as I mentioned in the latest hymn book, and probably our last book of praise in the Presbyterian Church, we have the word sins used twice and debts once. But in this passage, there are many other aspects of Scripture that I think are important for our daily lives today. Of course, the Lord's Prayer is important every minute of every day. Persistent prayer is highlighted in verses 5 to 13, with examples of the knock at the door at midnight, the child asking for a fish, back to the knock on the door. The friend comes to the door at midnight and asks for 3 loaves of bread. The person wanting the bread already has guests at his house, but is in need of food. So probably typical, like some of us, we do run out of food when guests come and we don't want to be too embarrassed. So the neighbor goes and knocks on the door. But the homeowner has locked the doors and the children are with him. But the person wants food and he will not give up. But what if you were in that position? Would you go down? Would you unlock the door? Because you have pulled the blinds, locked the doors, turned down the air conditioning, let the computer go into sleep mode, and we're off to sleep. Then the knock comes to the door. How do you react? Luke's gospel is telling us to be generous, even if it's bothersome for us. Waking up and sharing bread with one's neighbors at midnight is annoying, but we are encouraged to do so. In our lives, there are times when we cannot get our neighbor to respond, but the gospel message tells us to be persistent, for our Heavenly Father knows our needs and will provide them for us. Now, listeners then, back in Bible times, and listeners now, just in case you did not get what he was getting at, what the message was, Jesus tells another example, that the Father knows your needs. Is there any among you who, if your child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? Through being persistent, God knows your needs. In verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Luke's writing about the decent father and mother will give that desire to us when it is good for them to do so. We don't always count on getting what we want, but God will decide. The Holy Spirit cares for us as a good father or a good mother cares for their children. We should be confident in our Christian faith that we have a Holy Father that will answer the door. Maybe not the first time, Maybe not the second time, but will. And also our Creator will give us what we need if we are not afraid to ask. But sometimes the Bible's telling us we must be persistent. God knows better than we do. As we look into verse 9, we see, knock and the door will be opened for you. In the two previous passages, we see the neighbor and the child. In each case, God is telling them to knock, then the blessings of God will flow. Too often, we blame God for not answering our prayers the way we want him to. We have determined in advance his answer. We knock and expect God to answer. So, for example, David and Ann, come on in, God says to us. I have arranged to get all things you asked for. Just choose and take them with you. But that's not the way God works. God knows what you need. God has that doorknob on the inside. But on the other hand, he controls that doorknob. When God knocks, are we going to let him in? Who is at the door? The neighbor for bread, or a representative of Jesus? Let's say we are in control of that door. That could be us at St. Andrew's Chalmers or us as individuals. There are many instances that knocks could come to our door as a church or as individuals. I want to give just three. In our last few minutes, we need to look and find out who is at our door. We need to know that we could be on the outside knocking as Jesus was. But for each of the scenarios I will give you, we as a church are on the inside, holding that doorknob, holding that door handle, that we can open to whomever we wish to, and at that door, as we wish to respond to that knock. Number one, knock knock is heard at our church doors. We look out and we discover it is some homeless people. What do we do as a church? What would Jesus do? Are we going to invite them in or tell them to get lost? It's difficult to know what to do, but we have control of that door. The people on the outside, all they want is to get in, to be with us. Our gospel is built about mercy and being generous with our neighbors. Even though it's difficult to know what to do, our gospel is built about mercy and being generous with our neighbors. Knock, knock. We want to find out who is at our church door now. You and I look and it's a lonely person looking for company. He's depressed, poorly dressed, and poorly fed. Loneliness is a growing problem here and globally. Do we open that door? Since once again, we have the doorknob in our hands. We can say, sorry, but we're in an important meeting right now, as that person persistently knocks at our door. If we are at home, we could act like the Bible story that it is late. We're in bed. None of these door knockings, however, have an easy answer. But the gospel is about mercy and being generous with our neighbors. Now we have a third knock at the door. There's a person at our church door and wants to speak to us about coming to our church and being involved in our church. She is different in the sense it's hard to determine who she is. Her clothes do not seem to demonstrate a gender. She's well-fed and articulate, but there's something about her that is different. She has an educated background. She's been dismissed from her house. It is difficult for us to determine, really, who is this person? We are on the inside as a church. She is knocking at our door. She's not like the street people or the lonely man. She wants to come in to be part of our church. The gospel is about mercy and being generous with our neighbors. Now, I will admit, it is difficult as we look at the biblical story of the bread and the egg to know how we would act. The three scenarios they gave are hard as well, but the key as we look at the Lord's Prayer and the scripture passage this morning is to be persistent in our prayers. There are going to be many reasons why people are knocking at our doors. But Jesus says to pray persistently, then act as Jesus would want us to. We may not have knocking at our door or home doors, but we do have people that are knocking all over right now, waiting for the response of the church. And I mean the church generally, not just our church. But I do want to finish with a true story. And some of you, I've told this story before, and it's about knocking at the door. For several years, I worked in Mr. Wasis doing vacation Bible camps, and that's an indigenous reserve in central Saskatchewan. We have a Presbyterian church there, and at the time it was the only Presbyterian church on a reserve. I went out there to straighten things out. I had a really bad concept of what it was like to live on a reserve and to be an indigenous person. I learned my lesson very quickly that I was wrong. But where it came to the absolute unbelievable knock. I was sitting, and they have a sanctuary in the church. I was by myself trying to figure out, what do I do next with all these kids and all. But I sat in the sanctuary all by myself. And then I heard a knock at the door. Nobody was there except me. And I got up, and I went to the door, and there was no one there. Not a person. And that was God telling me to smarten up. God opened my eyes and has been persistent with me for many, many years about how I felt about other people. And from that day to this day, I do a lot of work with Indigenous people, support them in all ways I can. Because we do have an issue with many different diverse and groups in our country. But as a church, we must always be there. You see, God was persistent with me, and he opened my eyes to his wisdom, which are much smarter and much brighter than I was. Amen.